What I want to talk about today is the Eglah Arufa. The parasha of Eglah Arufa appears at the end of the parasha of Shoftim. At the end of the parasha of Shoftim, so let's look at the Psukim. Ki matzei halal. If you find a halal is a synonym for a dead body. I mean, halal, somebody who's dead. Then it says, ba'adama. Ba'adama. Okay, that could be a kind of a non-interesting word, except that it says, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha L'Rishta. Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha L'Rishta. So somehow, this is connected to Eretz Yisrael. This is Eretz Yisrael, and we know that in the Torah, there's a special level of ethical behavior that is demanded of people who live in Eretz Yisrael, that is different than the level of ethical behavior that is demanded of people who live elsewhere. And in fact, the Torah says quite bluntly and clearly that if the people who live in Eretz Yisrael are not maintaining the proper ethical standards, which include, of course, doing the mitzvot and the halachot, then the land will turn against them. That's what the Torah says. It's not that God will turn against them, even though certainly, you know, that's what's implied. But the pasuk says, you know, that the adama, that the land of Israel, takia, will vomit you out, as though it was a living organism that can't take unethical behavior, behavior of this type that is described in the Torah. So here it says, Ki yimatzei halal. And we know that in these parashiyot we've dealt with the matter of murder at different levels, murder shogeg, murder bebezid, right? Murder is being dealt with. Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha L'Rishta, Nofel Basadeh. Nofel Basadeh. Ki yimatzei halal, Nofel Basadeh. He's dead, I guess, in the field. No da mihikahu, and we don't know who killed him. We know from looking at the body that somebody killed him. It's not a case of somebody just keeling over and dying, but it is a case of someone actually killing him. Pasuk bet. V'yatzu zikeinecha v'shoftecha umadedu el ha'arim asher svivot hechalal. V'yatzu. And they will go out. Who will go out? Zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Rashi says, Zekeinecha v'yatzu zekeinecha. In other words, Rashi notices that there are too many words here. Who should be going out to do all of this, whatever the parasha is? The shoftim, the judges. Who are the zekeinim who go with the judges? You know, Rashi was into that. Words, and what do they add? What meaning do they add to the psukim? So Rashi says, "V'yatzu zikeinecha, miyuchadim shebizikeinecha." The special ones of the zikeinim. Yatzu zikeinecha. It's like it's not just a collective a word, according to Rashi, all the elders, but it means the special elders, the ones who are noticed. And who are the ones who are noticed? Miyuchadim shebizikeinecha, the special ones. Elu Sanhedri Gedola. So the Gemara says, so who's special? Who's special in the zikeinim? Sanhedri Gedola, right? The people in the great assembly, right? The kind of, you know, that very special kind of higher court that existed in Yerushalayim. So Rashi's already told us that this is kind of a very significant event. I mean, you're not going to call the Sanhedrin Agdolah to come out and to check on the measurements unless there's something really very important going on. Umadidu miyamakol shechalal shochei. Umadidu, is that the next pasuk already? Mm-hmm. Yeah, here. Umadidu el ha'arim asher svivot echalal. And they measure the distance to the cities around this dead body, Rashi, Lekotzad, Leida, Eisek, Krova. So Rashi says, you can't just measure in one direction, you have to measure in all the directions, right? Like geometry, remember? So that's how you do it. You find out which city is closest to the dead body. And then what do you do? And then what do you do? Pasuk Gimel. Vayair Krova El Hechalal. Right, the closest city, we've determined where the closest city is to this dead body. V'lachuzik dei ha'ir ahu eglat bakar asher lo ubad ba asher lo mashcha ba'ol. So you take an egla, a calf, bakar, of eventually large animal, right? An egla, a calf of a large animal, eglat bakar asher lo ubad ba, which has not yet been used to work the land, right? Asher lo mashcha ba'ol. Ol is a yoke, right? Did not pull the yoke, right? There's a description of the work of a large animal, right? You could check Discovery Channel, and you'll see it right there. And he says, and then what happens? You take this egla, this calf. Asher lo ubad ba, asher lo mashcha ba'ol. Pasuk dalet. Voridu ziknei ha'ir ha'hu et ha'egla el nachal eitar. And the ziknei ha'ir ha'hu, right? The elders of that city, the city closest to the halal, what does it have to do? They take the egla el nachal eitan. Nachal means a river. What does eitan mean? There is a word in Hebrew, eitan, strong, for powerful. Rashi says, nachal eitan, kashe, shelo ne'evad. Kashe, hard. How could a nachal be hard? Well, it could be hard if it is a powerful stream all the time. There's always water streaming through this nachal. So if there's always water streaming through this nachal, then it's never actually been used for farming purposes. Right? In other words, in a world where sometimes there is water, so during the off season you could plant in the nachal. But here it's a nachal eitan, ashalo evorido, Ziknei ha'ir ha'hu eto eta egla, the calf, el nachal eitan, this kind of nachal. Asher lo ye'aved bo ve'lo ye'zara. There's no work done there, there's no planting. Va'arfu sham eta egla ba'nachal. So they take the egla and they cut off its head. They cut off its head, of course. I mean, we don't know what the egla is doing exactly, because we know about sacrifices that are brought to the Beit HaMikdash for the purpose of kapara, of atonement, but we don't know exactly what this egla is doing in the middle of nowhere, close to the city, or the Nachal Eitan. Could be far, could be close. I mean, we don't know where the Nachal Eitan is, but the Nachal Eitan produces a sacrificed calf. Looks like a sacrificed calf. And then the Pasuk says, Rabu Shabbat Aglav and Nachal Pasuk, hey, then Vinikshu HaKohanim B'nei Levi, where they come from, these Kohanim, but I guess maybe they come from the same city. They're a Kohanim. And these Kohanim are called B'nai Levi. This is something in the book of Dvarim, that Kohanim are always called B'nai Levi. Now that's something for a different discussion, but it's a fact. Kohanim B'nai Levi. So that means it doesn't bother us so much. That's what I'm trying to say. If you remember the book of Dvarim, Baal Peh, then Kohanim B'nai Levi won't bother you, even though we're not sure why the Kohanim in Dvarim, the book of Dvarim, are called often B'nai Levi. I mean, of course they were B'nai Levi. There's nothing that's wrong with it, but in the book of Ayikra, it's Kohanim. not Kohanim B'nai Levi. So put that on the side. I don't know the answer to the question, or I can't discuss it right now, whichever appeals to you. Nikshu HaKohanim B'nai Levi, Ki Bam Bachar Hashem Elokech L'Sharto L'Varech B'Shem Hashem, because they are special, they serve God, and they bless in the name of God. Val Piyem Yiyeh Kol Riv V'Chol Naga, and the Kohanim serve as justices out in the field, and Kol Naga, they're also the medical person, they make determinations. That's what that pasuk means, I think. Kol Riv, Kol Naga. Riv is a dispute, and a Naga is an affliction, and so the Kohanim somehow determine. When it comes to afflictions, it's very clearly stated in the Torah, they look and they decide whether the afflicted person is still contagious or whether his period of contagion has ended. Right? That's their medical prowess. And even though we're talking about, you know, in the Parashiyot of Tazria Umetzora, we're talking about different kinds of nega'im, different kinds of afflictions that afflict clothing, that afflict houses, and afflict people, right? So that when it comes to the affliction that afflicts people, we understand that they make a determination. They also make a determination on the houses. If they go to a house and they see a block of stone, and that block of stone seems to be afflicted, so they decide, take it out. Take out that stone. Replace it with another stone. That's Al-Kol Riv, Al-Kol Noga. The Kol Ziknei, so that's the fair hair of the seed. Somebody is shefting this calf. The Zikenim are there. The Kohanim B'nei Levi are there. They're all like at this particular moment. The Kol Ziknei Ha'ir Ahu Akrovim Elechalal Yechetsu Et Yideihem Ziknei Ha'ir. They are like Kohanim. The Kohanim, when Yom Kippur is coming up, so you know the Kohanim, during Yom Kippur, wash their hands and their feet many times. Every time they go to do another avodah, another, they serve God again, right? Another avodah. Kol ziknei ha'krovim elechalal yichatsu et yideihem al ha'agala ha'arufa b'nachal. They wash their hands al ha'arufa al ha'agala ha'arufa b'nachal. Somehow they get to do tshuva. They're going to ask for atonement, even though they didn't do anything. They certainly didn't do anything. I mean, nobody for a moment thinks that the Zkenim are actually the ones who did whatever happened. So again, one more pasuk. Vanu v'amru. And the Zekenim, the antecedent of Anu v'Amru, they answered and they said, or they spoke and they said, Anu v'Amru yadenu lo shafchu et hadam. You see how it's written, it's a kri uchtiv. It's written in the Torah, shin pei kafei, but we read it shafchu. We read it shafchu. I mean, I guess the plural is the right one, because we're talking about the Zekenim. But somehow the text became singular. Yadenu lo shafcha is what the text reads. We read it, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. And our eyes did not see who did it. This is quite remarkable. They're taking responsibility for the death of an unknown victim. And nobody knows who he is. It's like those mystery movies, you know. No identification, chief, like nothing. So the guys, the policemen who were there first, somebody could accuse them of killing this guy who's lying in the river or something. Certainly not. But they accept responsibility. They accept responsibility. They have to say, Yadenu lo shafchu et ha Adam Hazeh, Veineinu Lo Ra'u, and we didn't see anything. And then Pasuk Chet, look at Pasuk Chet, Vekaper Lamcha Yisrael Asher Padita Hashem. And we beseech God that He should atone all of Am Yisrael. All of Am Yisrael. Asher Padita Hashem, V'al Titein Dam Naki Bekerev Amcha Yisrael. And do not let pure blood sort of roost itself in the midst of Am Yisrael, your people Israel. V'rekaper Lachem Adam, and they will be atoned for the blood. Vata tivaer hadam anakimi kirbecha, and you will exorcise, you will remove this pure blood from your midst. Kita seh yeshar beinei Hashem, you'll do what is demanded in the eyes of God. Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, Yadeinu lo shafcha, this is like an essential Rashi. What do they say? Who suspected them? Who thought that they were these type of people? Ella, Lore Inuhu, Upetranuhu, Belomizon. We didn't see this dead person and send him away without food, Ubelolivaya, and without being supported by somebody, without having people take him along the road. Va'kohanim omrim kapel amcha Yisrael. So the Zekeinim say this, and the Kohanim say that, and so you have this act of kapara going on outside of the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, even though in the Beit HaMikdash in Yom HaKippurim, as we know, the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, intervenes in order to achieve kapara for all of Am Yisrael. All of Am Yisrael, when it comes to this halal, our assumption is that, I mean, we see that somebody killed him, and if somebody killed him, that demands atonement. And if I find the guy, as the Ramban will explain, find the guy immediately, we bring him to court, we find him guilty, we treat him like a murderer, all this stuff doesn't count. All this stuff doesn't count. But if we don't find the murderer, we accept responsibility. In other words, murder is not something that was done by him. Murder was done by everybody, and the time to take note of that everybody aspect of murder is when you find a dead body in the middle of nowhere, and the dead body was clearly murdered. That murder itself has to be atoned by somebody representing Klal Yisrael, representing the entire Jewish people. Yeah.
Is it this last part though could actually be true? In other words, they have to say that they didn't see this poor man. Because they very well may have seen this poor man go off and say, well, I'm too busy, I'm davening, I don't have time to get the food. In other words, that last part where they say they didn't see it, that's the one part that could actually be relevant to them. Well, they didn't murder him for sure, but they might have sent him away without food.
Yeah, but if they found the murderer, they would never ask this Kenim that question.
That's true.
In other words, it could always be that they were not sufficiently kind, they didn't give him enough food, they didn't send people along with him on the road to protect him. All of that could be true, but if they found the killer, they wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do this. In other words, what the Torah teaches us is that when there's a murder and you're able to identify the murderer in some way, then that's the person that you think of, that you concentrate on, the murderer. But if you can't find the murderer, that's apparently an educational opportunity. It suddenly becomes everybody's issue, everybody's problem, according to the Torah. Now, even though today we can't easily do this Egla Arufa, right? for whatever reason, you know, we're missing Kohanim, we're missing Leviyim, we're missing Zekenim, we're missing, can't do that, but we could develop an interest in this ethical question. And that ethical question is, how are we responsible? How much are we responsible for the crazy people in our midst? Right? I think most people develop an antibody. It's not me. It's not my family. It's not us. It's not, you know, sort of like try to push it away. We don't say, oh, how terrible that is. It's my fault. I mean, that's something that is, it's not counterindicated, but I mean, that's why we have police, right? We have police so that they should be responsible. And I don't want to be responsible. But that's what the Torah seems to say. That there is this responsibility that we have to the dead body that's discovered. But it's not just to that dead body, I think. It's anybody who is murdered. Even if you do have a murderer. Even if you have a murderer that you can point to and punish. But in some way, this distorted value that we live with is somebody's fault. I mean, somebody is not doing the proper job in some way, you know, in a way. And the Torah wants us to accept that responsibility to a certain extent. If you have this public demonstration ending with the pasuk chet, kaper lamcha Yisrael asher padita Hashem. I mean, kaper, kapara, atonement. What are they being atoned for? And it says, amcha Yisrael. It doesn't say the people who live right here or the people who live in the close city. The close city people are just the ones who are chosen to do this avodah, this service of God. But they represent the entire nation. The entire nation can't say it's not my fault according to this parasha. You have to say it is my fault. And I think that's an interesting matter. That's an interesting matter because let's look at the Ramban. You see the Ramban? Mm-hmm. Inyan Arifa. What is this all about really? That's what the Ramban is saying. So why do you have to slaughter the Agalah in the middle of nowhere? And then pour the blood into the Nachal Eitan, and then make sure that nobody serves, nobody works the land or serves on that piece. I mean, what is going on here? Especially since there is a halacha that shchutei chutz are awesome. You're not allowed to sacrifice outside of the Beit HaMikdash once the Beit HaMikdash is built. And clear that the Torah is referring to both post-Beit HaMikdash time. It can't be that the Torah is only referring to earlier, you know, the time before the Beit HaMikdash was built. I mean, that's not reasonable. I mean, there are many references in the Torah to the Beit HaMikdash. So look at what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Omar Rabbi Abraham, that's the Ibn Ezra. Shashem tzivah lachzot kein ala ira krova, that God commanded us to measure to get to the closest city. Ki lulei sha'asu avera kidomela lo nizdanein shireg adam karov mehem. So there you have it. He says, the Ibn Ezra says, it's clear that we measure from the dead body to the closest city. It's important for us to know the closest city is, because in that closest city is the murderer. He's in there. It's not the Torah, it's not just telling us to practice geometry, but the Torah is telling us this is how you get closer to the dead, to the victim, not the victim, to the perpetrator. Right? This is how you get close to the perpetrator.
Is it the perpetrator of this crime or a murderer?
Kilulesha asua vera kedomela lo nizdamein shireg adam karov mehem. Yefeh. In other words, because there is a guilty person in the city, that's why this could happen. Now this is like a metaphysical, a Kabbalistic position. Now, you know the Ibn Ezra was a little bit of a Kabbalist. I mean, a philosopher, a Kabbalist. The Ibn Ezra says is that you could have, like the world, there could be a weakness. Like if you imagine the atmosphere surrounding the world, there could be a place where there's a hole in the atmosphere. I mean, today we know that there can be. But I just mean as an idea, that there's a place where things are not as they should be. Right? And that place is indicated to us by this process, according to the Ibn Ezra, that I find out that the closest city is a city in which there is evil. Something wrong there. And so God has arranged it so that I could put my finger on the city and then try to deal with the problem. Try to deal with the problem. And then he says, the way God works in the world is not clear to us. We don't understand how God works. In other words, it's always a mystery. We say God is just, but we think that there are things going on in the world all the time that are unjust, right? Just, unjust. So he says, "Machshavot Hashem kula in ketzetz leinu." Aval harava mar b'mor nevuchim, and the Ramban goes on to quote the Mor Nevuchim, and it was the difference between the Ibn Ezra and Rashi. But according to the Ibn Ezra, there's design. God is in charge of what's going on. Why is this guy dead? He deserved to be dead, right? If you can't find the perpetrator, so it must be that he deserved to be murdered. Because if he didn't deserve entirely to be murdered, we would be able to find the perpetrator and punish him. I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense to the Ibn Ezra that things happen in the world that are entirely unjust. So this guy deserved to be dead. But the reason that we couldn't find the perpetrator is because the city that was closest to him when he died is a city that we have to look into. Right? And this is how God gets us to that city. And while it's kind of difficult to understand, like how God works, nevertheless, the Ibn Ezra is confident that that's what happened. And that's the first thing that the Ramban quotes. The second thing that the Ramban quotes is, "Aval harav amar b'mor nevuchim ki hata'am legalot al rotzeh leba'er damo ba'avur sheberov ha'pa'amim yeh rotzeh min ha'ir asher svivo dechalal u'kshiyatzu azkeinim v'yitazku b'medida ha'i v'zkeinei ha'ir ha'hu ya'idu lefnei ha'borei shelo hidrashlu." Lo hidrashlu. Is it for me? The call is not for me. Oh. You just keep hoping. Okay. So you see the Rambam. Here's the Rambam. You know, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, a very big part of the Mor Nevuchim, like the easy part, is the Rambam's analysis of Ta'amei HaMitzvot. The Rambam, about a third of the book, which has three parts to it, but about a third of the book, I think, is Ta'amei HaMitzvot. The Rambam explains the mitzvot, and generally explains them in very pragmatic and practical, useful terms. In other words, all these mitzvot are good for us in some way or other. And that's what the Rambam generally explains. Against, you understand, the Ramban, who doesn't like to talk about mitzvot in practical terms, although he may think that there are practical aspects to, you know, whether mitzvot are good for us, but the Ramban thinks more in terms of why God wants us to do the mitzvah. Right? Like, how is it good for heaven? How does it work out that God makes this demand on us? It must be something that God wants or God needs, etc. So the Ramban here says, quoting the Rambam, right, in the Mor Nevuchim Gimel Mem, right, part 3, chapter 40, He says all of these zikeinei ha'ir kasher. I have to do it again. Kiatam legalot alarot says lebaer tam demo. The actual reason is to enable us to find the murderer. Right, to find the murderer. Not like the Ibn Ezra, who said that the real purpose they must to find a place that has to be dealt with, right? The city has to be dealt with. Other people have to be dealt with. The Rambam says, "Legalot al haratzeh kulavaer damo bavur sheberova pa'amim yerotzeh min ha'ir asvivot ha'chalal." Most of the time, the murderer will come from the closest city to the dead body. When the elders go out and have to measure from the dead body to the closest city, when the elders of the city will announce before God, will give witness to give before God that they did not weaken in their fixing the roads and watching over them, v'she'enam, and they don't know, enam yodim mi'arag etzeh, they don't know who killed him, u'kashiyechaker ha'inyan yesfu azkenim, when they look into this matter, the zekenim will come together, the aviyu ha'galah, they'll bring the calf, yirmu b'nei ha'adam ledaber bo. So all of this mess is so that people should talk about it. It's like, hey, you know what's going on? You know, they're cutting off the head of the Agalah. They have Nachal Eitan, and like all of this has got to make an impression according to the Rambam. She says, "Yirbu b'nei Adam ledaber bo ulayig al hadavah." So if people talk about it, if they talk about what happened, maybe it will become clear to us who the murderer was. So the Rambam focuses on the murderer, and he doesn't interest himself in the gory details or in the fact that Eglarufa, Shalobadba, oh, like what difference does it make? What has all of this got to do with finding the murderer, right? Otherwise, unless you're willing to accept this principle of the Rambam, that as strange as it is, it'll cause more conversation and more talking and more attempts to understand. So that's what it says. Now look at the end of the Ramban. Ukvar amru in the Yerushalmi shafilu tavo shivcha v'tomar ploni varotzeyach lo te'aret. And in the Yerushalmi it says, in the Yerushalmi it says, nu, afilu tavo shivcha. What is a shivcha?
Maidservant.
What?
Maidservant.
Okay, maidservant.
Psulaidut.
So what? Psulaidut. Exactly right. A shivcha is not a person who has little influence, but she's also psulaidut. But if a shivcha, who's psulaidut, she has no standing, there's no reason to believe her, right? But she comes, she says, I saw Ploni the murderer do this particular act of murder. In what does the Yerushalmi say? The Yerushalmi says, "I feel the boshikra v'tomar ploni who arotzeach lo te'aref." You stop the process. You don't cut the head of the calf off. Meaning that we do anything once we just think or imagine that we know who the killer is. You don't do this whole process. And therefore, the Rambam says, obviously, that's the point. The point is that we want to find the murderer. But once we have an inkling, even though this shivcha is psula la'idut, she certainly gives us a direction. You know, like she said, it was that guy. So I have no reason not to believe her. But you have to understand there's a difference. I mean, I know this is politically maybe incorrect, but the halacha is not that we don't believe women. The halacha is that they can't be edim. And that's an arbitrary thing. Just like two brothers, let's say they were named Moshe and Aaron, these two brothers. They could not be edim in the same case. They could not both give witness that Reuven killed Shimon. Or if they did, we wouldn't accept the witness at all. But that doesn't mean we don't believe them. It doesn't mean we don't believe. So they have to differentiate between believing and witnesses. So this Shifcha, who came and said, I saw the person who murdered, we believe her. We believe her. And therefore, we don't continue with the process of Egla Arufa. However, because of a technicality, and you all know that that's something that comes up, because of a technicality, we have to get other witnesses. But once we know what we're looking for, the chance that we'll find the witnesses is great. Right? It's likely that it will happen. So now, here we go. Afil to Oshifcha v'tomar lo te'arev, v'im yodeya harotzeach, v'yachrishu mimenu, v'yaidu lifnei aborei al nafshotav, ki lo yeda'uhu, yebazez adon gadol. And we can't imagine that these skenim, if they knew who the murderer was, would say that they didn't know who the murderer was, according to the Rambam. So that this, once you know who the murderer is, then the halachot that we've learned will take care of him. Right? The king can kill him, the Beit Din can declare that he is guilty, and the Goel Hadam can kill him. You know, so all of these things assure us that he will be treated properly. Goel Adam. V'yitchachzek ha'inyan v'yot ha'makom asher terei po agala lo yavad ba v'lo yizara la'olam. And that will also give us kind of, you know, it's like you make a strange place in the world. Some place where there's nothing growing, nothing is being produced. So everybody who comes around knows that there's unfinished business, right? That we don't have the moral support of Eretz Yisrael 100%, only 99%, or some other number. But it's saying that we're not. We go there. We say we're not entirely free. We can't claim that we did everything that could possibly be done, because that would mean that we found the guilty person. As long as we didn't find the guilty person, according to the Rambam, we have a problem. Itchazek ha'inyan b'yod ha'makom asher nareh po agala lo yabad bo v'lo yizra le'olah yakiru bo ro'av v'yedabru bo. Everybody will know when they see this place, they'll say, oh, okay, you know, we're guilty of something. We haven't solved the problem. We haven't done it. Yet. So the Rambam sees this whole process as being one that leads us to moral superiority, a state of morality that is not accepted any place in the world today. And so there's the Ibn Ezra and there's the Rambam. The Ibn Ezra says that this is God's hand helping us to clarify a situation that has to be taken care of. Not necessarily the murderer, but a situation, right? A situation of some sort or another. The Ramban ends, right? The long lines in the Ramban at the bottom, you see? V'hinei lefi atama zeh, yesh b'tachbulot hazo to'elet. The Ramban says, according to the Rambam, all of the stuff that we do, the Egla Arufa, the Zikenim, the Kohanim, the Arifa, all these things that we do, are pragmatically positive. They'll produce a positive result. Aval, amase einenu nirtza be'atzmo. But this entire act is not reasonable in itself. Vayara ui od sheye aseh b'sadeh tov ra'ui lizriya. Wouldn't it have been better to do this whole thing in a field that is worked, and that we do plant, and that does grow? Ad sheye aseh b'sadeh tov ra'ui lizriya. Shiyakirubo ro'a, because then everybody would notice it and would know. Ki benachal eitan lo yodea o lo yivada madua lo yavodbo. Because in a regular nachal eitan, we don't know why. There's no ways to tell what the cause of our absolute. It may be just be unreasonable to work the land in that place. In the Nachal Eitan, because the water is always coming down so strongly. Ulefi da'ati. In other words, the Ramban says simply, it's very good, you know, the idea that the Rambam has, Mara Nebuchim, it's a good idea. But the Rambam did not explain to us why we do these weird things that we do. What does Nachal Eitan have to do with this? What does Arifat HaEgla have to do with this? I mean, once you kill the Egla, it's gone. It's not a memory that keeps going forever and ever, right? I mean, it's not, you don't have the, you don't have a TV playback of Arifat HaEgla to make people say, hey, what's going on? What happened here? So listen to the Ramban. Fidati yesh bo ta'am Ke'inyan ha-korbanot ha-naseh b'chutz. Yesh bo ta'am. We're talking about a category. And we're talking about the category is korbanot ha-nasim b'chutz. That even though we think that all the korbanot are done in the Beit HaMikdash, there are, in fact, korbanot nasot b'chutz. Anasim b'chutz, sa'ir ha-mishtaleach u'para aduma. Sa'ir ha-mishtaleach, Yom HaKippurim, you remember there are two sa'irim, and one goes to Azazel, whatever that is, and that sa'ir goes b'chutz and is killed someplace outside of the Beit HaMikdash to the east, right to the east. And the Paraduma also, the Paraduma is not sacrificed in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rabban reminds us that there are sacrifices that are given outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Now why are there sacrifices given? What would you say? Why are there sacrifices given outside the Beit HaMikdash? What prey could be the reason for such an indiscretion? Just a second. Here I have. I didn't want to print it. But the Ramban had to tell me, the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban had a Talmud. The Ramban doesn't explain his point, but he had a Talmud whose name was Rav Yitzchok de Min Akko. Rav Yitzchok de Min Akko, who left us also a commentary on the Ramban. And what the Ramban says, I really don't like to end the shiur on an annoying note, but I have to do that. The Ramban thought that there was apparently that there were evil forces in the world that had to be placated in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us atonement. It was similar to the story of Eov. Right? The way the story of Iyov is told, there's a Satan and there's a Kodesh Baruch. The Kodesh Baruch is very proud of Iyov, and the Satan says, well, I mean, Iyov has a good life. If anybody had as good a life as Iyov, he would certainly be respond to the demands of the Torah, etc. So there's this idea that even in the world that God created, right, which is certainly God's world, there are forces that have to be placated. So when the Satan said that, God went to prove that Iyov was special and that he would be able to withstand the oppression, he'd be able to withstand the repression of having all the good things taken away from him. That's what it says. So the Ramban, not necessarily learning from this, but the Ramban was of the opinion, apparently, that there was a need to placate forces in the world that were unacceptable to us. And so, in order for Am Yisrael to receive atonement on Yom HaKippurim, and in order for that atonement to be blanket, right, to cover everybody, everybody's going to reach atonement, then the Satan, who can find something wrong with every single person, has to be placated, right, has to be put out of the picture. And the Sa'ir La'Azazel does that. Similarly, I want to get into the story of Paraduma, but Paraduma somehow, there is this Tuma and Tahara interchange. Right? There's that's also outside of the Beit HaBikdash. Now here you have the Egla Arufa. The Egla Arufa, it's as though, according to the Ramban, we discovered in this Halal, in the Sadeh, that there's something wrong in the world. Because if there wasn't anything wrong with the world, then you'd never have like a dead body, an anonymous dead body appearing in the field. And so the Egla Arufa is a kind of a sacrifice outside of the Beit HaMikdash in order to enable somehow neutralizing this bad that exists in the world and that influences us, that influences the way we do. Certainly that was the way that the Ramban understood it. Now the Ramban, you have to understand that the Ramban was interested in the details. Why Egla, why Arufa, why Nachal Eitan? He understood what the Ramban said. And he may have even agreed with it. He may have even agreed with the Ramban, but he felt that the Ramban did not explain the details of Egla Arufa, and that somehow the real story is in Egla Arufa. Now we don't, I mean, in modern times, I've not found that this is such a, you know, crucial issue. But if you think in medieval terms, the idea that there are people who do bad things is not obvious. It's not clear where these people who do bad things come from. Where does bad come from? Why aren't we all angels? I mean, not angels, but why are we all nice people and good people? After all, we all come from God, and we could attribute to God those midot, those attributes, right? God is nice, God is merciful, God is Ki Hashem Hashem, Ki Rachum V'Chanun. Oh, we're on the eve of Slichot. And you know that we think that pasuk, or those two pasukim, are the ultimate prayer. Is the ultimate prayer to say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun Erchapai Rochez? Why is that the ultimate prayer? Why is that something that we get excited about? You know, we say Hashem Hashem because if it's God, then it's us, and if it's us, then God has to notice us that way, right? As being Baalei Rachum V'Chanun, that's the Kabbalistic view of things. It's Slichot, after all, is a Kabbalistic event, right? Because it was too late for them to take over the Machzor, but they did to a certain extent. But they took over Slichot without a doubt. Okay, so you see, You see that in this time, between the 10th century and the 13th century, the Rishonim were concerned about what the implication of Egla Arufa is, and while they didn't come to a common conclusion, there's no doubt that the Egla Arufa calls upon us to achieve a higher level of moral existence than anybody could imagine. Anybody today would imagine. Right? Okay, have a good try. This is just David Zvi Hoffman is a summary. David Zvi Hoffman was a Lithuanian, naturally, who was brought to Germany to be the head of the Beit Midrash Rabbanim in Frankfurt, Berlin. I'm sorry, in Berlin. David Zvi Hoffman, he wrote very, very well known Shelot u'Tshuvot, and to act against the modern commentaries on the Chumash. He wrote a pretty long commentary on the Chumash, Bereishit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. He wrote a commentary which is now available in Hebrew. That's where, not now, it's been available Hebrew. Nechama Leibowitz likes to quote David Zvi Hoffman and others, but if you do the Nechama Leibowitz sheets, you might find David Zvi Hoffman. If you any other information, you can Google David Zvi Hoffman. Google is a great resource. Mm-hmm. Not only everything, but everything. Okay, all the best. Mm-hmm.